Oh, can you provide? Oh, it's, I should have opened it up on that. So the first question, or one of the questions, I don't know what order. Can you provide an instance of when you have had Jesus revealed to you? Really good question that I should have an answer to immediately. Yes. So this is one, I'll probably think of a better example or example later. When I was at UNL, this is when I was starting to get into my faith. I was reading more. I was even thinking about the priesthood. But I was an awkward, introverted freshman. And I was walking from campus downtown. I forget why, but downtown for some reason. And I passed a homeless person. And I passed countless homeless people and didn't bother me, didn't move me in any way. But for some reason, this time, I like immediately remembered Jesus's words about whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. And it came with such force that I knew that I had to do something. So I did exactly what I do every time I think Jesus is asking me to do something. I say no. And I'm just being honest. Every time, this is my modus operandi. I always say no. And I walk around the block. I'm like, I don't want to talk to this person because I'm awkward and shy and introverted. I don't want to talk to this person. What am I going to do? And then I was also idealistic. And so I was like, okay, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to save this person. And so I went into a bunch of businesses and got job applications. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get this person out of joblessness and out of homelessness. And then I hand them like the stack of, I was such a doofus. But that was an example of when I felt Jesus manifesting himself to me. And it was in a very, you know, humble way as this poor homeless person. On papal infallibility, does the church keep a record of when the Pope speaks? Oh, why can't I see? It only shows me a preview of the responses. Technology. Oh, there we go. Does the church keep a record of when the Pope speaks infallibly ex cathedra? Oh, ex cathedra. That's a great question. I should have brought that up when I was talking about the magisterium. So what we say about the magisterium is the bishops, and in a unique way, the Pope, because the Pope is just a bishop, but he's a special bishop because he's the Bishop of Rome, which was the church of Peter and also the church in which Paul died, the area in which Paul died. So Rome always, and it was one of the most ancient churches. So Rome always had this special status. So the Bishop of Rome had this unique authority over the other bishops. So all the bishops in their teaching, but in a unique way, the Bishop of Rome in his teaching carry a certain kind of weight. Now the weight that their teaching carries is determined by how they teach it, how often they teach it, in what kind of document they teach it, et cetera, et cetera. So an example, if random Joe Schmo bishop out in Wyoming, I don't actually know who the bishop in Wyoming is. He's probably great. Random, I'm not gonna pick on Bishop of Wyoming. Random Joe Schmo bishop out in somewhere teaches something weird and against the faith, we don't listen to that as carrying any kind of authority because it's just an isolated bishop teaching his own thoughts. But if that bishop gets together with 500 other bishops in a council and produces a document in which they say, you must hold this, then that does carry weight. And so infallibility is a way to speak about really weighty documents. That because Jesus is present in this church and he wants people to know the truth, he's going to guide the church to teach the truth. So the weighty documents carry infallibility. So they don't contain errors when it relates to faith and morals. The Pope speaking alone, so no bishop speaking alone carries infallibility. Only bishops teaching in unison with other bishops carries infallibility. The Bishop of Rome, though, can teach with infallibility, but there's some unique, like he has to make it very clear that he's doing it. So one of the ways that he could do it historically would be to say, If anyone says that Jesus was not man, but only God, then I don't know, he's rejecting the faith. You know, that's a very clear statement of this is something that you have to believe in order to be Catholic. That would be what we call ex cathedra, or a teaching from the chair of Peter, or from the authority of Peter. Cool. So the official list is actually really small of ex cathedra statements. It's the Assumption of Mary, the Immaculate Conception of Mary. And that's it. As far as ex cathedra, where Pope is exercising that authority on his own. That doesn't mean that we can ignore everything else that the Pope says, because the Pope can still teach authoritatively, even if not ex cathedra. All right. Can you provide an instance? Oh, no. The Apostles' Creed tells us about the resurrection of the body. I'm thinking that happens when the world ends. Do we get judged at that time and just sleep until then, or do we judge right after our death? Where does purgatory come into the question? Does the Bible talk about purgatory? Woo! Wowza! So, oh, that's good. That's a good question. So first, judgment. We believe that judgment takes place immediately upon death. It's that's what we call your particular judgment. That's the answer to that question. Immediately upon your death. And then about purgatory. Purgatory is easily, we're going to have a whole class on death, hell, purgatory, and heaven. So we'll get into it in more depth then. Don't think of purgatory as like a place. It often is misrepresented as that. Purgatory is nothing but the process of entering into heaven. It's a process of God cleansing you completely before you enter into heaven. So for example, I was talking, I don't know if this is a good example, but I was talking with some Protestant friends of mine when I lived in Nebraska before. They were really concerned with evangelizing to me, which is great. They came and knocked on my door, and then we ended up having this chit chat. And we got talking about purgatory, and I asked them, can anything unclean enter into heaven? So if you have stain of sin on you, can you enter into heaven? And they say, no. Like, all right, we agree on that level. So how do you enter into heaven? They say, well, Jesus cleanses you and allows you in. Like, aha, we agree. We just call that process of cleansing you purgatory. That's it. So it's not a place. It's not a unique destination. It's just a process of God cleansing you. Uh-huh. Cool. You're like, you're so much worse at answering questions than Father Hall. But he'll be back, don't worry.